starts in John 20, 24. John 20, 24. And this is titled, Things I Can't Afford to Miss. Things I Can't Afford to Miss. John 20, 24, it says, But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Things I can't afford to miss. You know, there's a lot of things we miss out on in this life because we weren't there, all right? Or we had to do something else, or we were just too busy on the other side of the room talking with somebody else, and we missed this or missed that. But there's things here that are in the future that God has for them that love Him, and I don't want to miss any of these. I don't want to miss any of them. And the first thing is, I don't want to miss the service. I don't want to miss the service. Matthew 18, verse 20. Matthew 18, verse 20. Marty kind of prayed this one here almost. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You know, a lot of church members seemingly are content to be absent when the church services are going on. But for me, I want to be there. I want to be there. I don't want to miss the service. It says there, if two or three get together in the Lord's name, He is going to be in the midst of them and bless them. You know, I see, actually it's terrible, I don't remember who I see. Somebody over here, two of you over here praying. You know what? God is in the midst of that. When two or three, it doesn't take a whole lot, does it? So if two or three get together in the Lord's name, He is going to be there. And I don't want to miss that blessing. I talked about us before, about watching your speech. Watch your speech. Watch what you say and treat it as though the Lord Jesus Christ was right next to you. I preached that just a few weeks ago. But this verse goes even further than that. You know, because on that other one, I'm saying just, well, act like He's there with you. Act like, you know, pretend like He is. Well, this is saying, no, He is with us. He is with us. There am I in the midst of them. He will actually be in the midst of those that are two or three more gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I declare here right now, right this minute, that we are gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And I think maybe we need to say that out loud sometimes. You know, because how many churches are getting together today just for that cup of coffee or just for that fellowship or just for some other reason? And maybe you came here today just for that reason. But I declare that I'm here for the Lord Jesus Christ, because I want Him in the midst of my service. And He will actually be in the midst of us while we're here gathered. And this is the first thing that I don't want to miss, being in the service while Christ is in the midst. I don't want to be like Thomas, doubting Thomas, who missed the service, which probably is what led to him doubting the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, no, that's not really you. Well, you missed the service, man. And I don't want to be like that. The second thing I don't want to miss is the shout. I don't want to miss the shout. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. I'm going to start at 13. It's actually later on there, 16 and 17. But 4, starting at 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And I guess other people, you know, people say, well, what's that shout going to be? Is it going to be, hey, you? You know, but most likely, come up hither. Come up hither. But you know what? I think it's going to be more than that. I think it's going to be, Glenn Peterson, come up hither. But you're going to hear, Marty Hoffman, come up hither. I think we're each going to hear our own name. I mean, that's maybe stretching it, but I don't know. I know that my God can do that. I know that my God made a whole bunch of people hear one person speaking and they all heard it in their own tongue. So it's going to be a shout. And I don't want to miss that shout. I don't want to miss that shout. This is that great shout that I really don't want to miss. Revelation 4:1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Revelation 11:12, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. There is also another time when I'm not sure if it's a shout, okay, but I can't wait to be there to hear this. And again, it's, you know, one of those sermons that just sticks in your mind. Sam Gipp gave that sermon, I think it was here. I might have heard him somewhere else because I've heard him in different places. And it was, it sure was with a shout with him anyway. I don't know if you guys remember it. And it's Revelation 4:8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, and here's where Sam Gipp was, holy, holy, holy. But he didn't let back like I am there. He shouted it. But those angels are up there singing, holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Oh, I always like these sermons where you get to shout. But you know what? I don't want to miss the shout. I don't want to miss it. Goes on, Revelation 4:9, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, and this again might be a shout, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Boy, what a great thing to be hearing us. We can be hearing this in heaven. I hope this verse is a shout as well, because I really look forward to hearing it. And I don't want to miss the shout. The next thing is, I don't want to miss the supper. I don't want to miss the supper. Revelation 19:9 says, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. When that great supper in heaven is happening, I want to be there. It will be great when all the saints of all ages sit down together. It says in Matthew 8:11, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Not that Jacob in the back. He always likes to know his name was said, in the kingdom of heaven. So it is not just a Baptist doctrine. That's a biblical doctrine. Potlucks are required. Potluck dinners. All right? And I don't want to miss that supper. I think, was it in this song? We just sang it? Yeah. Brethren, we have met to worship. Verse 4. Da-da-da-da. Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Then he'll call us home to heaven. At his table, we'll sit down. Christ will gird himself and serve us with sweet manna all around. Sweet manna. You know, this manna is the bread. Well, what's he going to give us? What's he going to feed us? He'll be feeding us the word. And this is the manna, the word right there. I don't want to miss that supper. But I also don't want to miss, Angel, the saddle. Angel will like this part. I don't want to miss the saddle. Revelation 6, 2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, this horse and saddle is not the one we might be riding on, but the next verse is, we can be with them and following Jesus Christ on our horse. You know, there's different times when Christ comes, or, you know, it's the saints and this and that. There's actually three different times. But I'm not a big one for horseback riding. I actually kind of hate it down here because I, you know, my back hurts. And, you know, the first time I ever got on a horse, it stopped. I didn't. You know, I mean, just, oh, and that was, you know, just as a little kid. And ever since then, I really don't care for it. I've probably done it a few times. Well, when they're real trained and, you know, I don't mind it. But this, I'm actually looking forward to it. Even though I don't like horses, I'm really looking forward to this saddle. Once we're in heaven and sitting there waiting for orders from the king, the true commander in chief, not this other guy we got, but the true commander, the true potentate, he will give us orders to saddle up. He'll tell us, saddle up. And I don't want to be one that misses the saddle. And by the way, potentate is only in the Bible one time in 1 Timothy 6:15, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You know, there's guys on this world that want to be called that, the potentate. They're not. Revelation 19, 11, starting at 11. Revelation 19, starting at 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called, I love this part too, the Word of God. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Even that'd be a trick for me with my dirty clothes. Ooh, I came home pretty dirty the other day. So, but we'll have white and clean, fine linen. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Christ came the first time to be smitten of men. He came to suffer and to die, to be beat up, to be spit on. He came that way the first time. The next time he comes to this earth, he will come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I don't want to miss the saddle. But I don't want to miss the summit. I don't want to miss the summit. Revelation 20. Revelation 20. It says, starting at verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So the Bible informs us that there are three groups that will reign with Christ. The 12 apostles, it talks about it in Matthew 19, verse 28. The church age saints and the tribulation saints who didn't take the mark of the beast and were martyred for that. It says in Revelation 26, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So that's the tribulation saints. But the Bible assures the child of God that we who are faithful in our service, it says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Romans 8:17, and it says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." And then 2 Timothy 2:12, it says, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us." So I think Revelation 1, 1 through 6 explains this in the best way, as it shows that we're considered kings and priests unto God. And actually, this part I didn't quite understand, to God and his Father. I came across that and I really didn't get the chance to study that one out. To God and his Father. Are they talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father? But, you know, again, and we will all get together someday. You know, we'll all get together someday because we're kings and princes and heirs. We're heirs. We're part of Jesus Christ. We're part of that family. And we'll all get together and have a summit, a great big get-together. And you know, like Larry says, you know what, we need to, you know, and I don't mean to be flippant about it, but I like it when we can just get together and have a cup of coffee. I like it when we can have this summit. This is considered a summit. It's like-minded people coming together. And I like to be a part of that. Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And here, the point, Revelation 1:6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So I don't want to miss that summit. I don't want to miss being that heir of Jesus Christ. Another thing I don't want to miss, I don't want to miss the singing. I don't want to miss the singing. Revelation 21:2 says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." After the 7 years of tribulation, 1,000-year reign, John saw a new heaven and a new earth. Then he saw the holy city coming down from God out of heaven. In Psalm 144:9, it says, "I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee." You know, new song. I think that was in the Bible 7 times. Yeah. Oh, no, it was joyful noise. I looked up one of them. Yeah, joyful noise. Joyful noise. Now, that's what we did today. I know, we all joke about it. You know, but to God it is. It's a joyful noise. But I can just imagine, I don't know what it's going to be, the millions, billions. You know, when you go to PBI and you have 500 or 600 people at a blowout, not just PBI, but a blowout where there's 500, 600, 700 people in there and singing. Oh, that's wonderful. There's actually a church I want to go to down south. Dave knows the guy. I can't think of the guy's name right now, but he's well known for their singing. And I just want to go there just to hear the singing there. I'm going to drive 5, 6, 7 hours just to hear the singing there. But can you imagine the singing in heaven? It's just amazing. Revelation 15:3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. And again, it's over and over about the new song. I believe that that new song, when it's saying that, it's talking about the singing in heaven, the new song. This is an everlasting joy in that city. The inhabitants of this place are singing a new song. The singing will be of Him, the Lamb, from the foundation of the world. I don't want to miss that singing. I don't want to miss the scenery. I don't want to miss the scenery. Revelation 21:1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. He saw it. We'll see it. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Revelation 21:21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. I can't even imagine what that scenery is going to be like. The 12 gates were, I mean, is that one great big pearl or just made out of pearl or what is it? Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold. Man, I can't wait to see the scenery. I don't want to miss that. It says, as it were, transparent glass. That gold is so refined. You know, I think the best gold you can get here is 99.9999 fine. I think all you have to do is make one more decimal point over, or whatever that is, one millionth of a decimal point over, and it'll be clear like glass. But man can't do that. Man can't do it. Oh, gold, that's a whole nother sermon one of these days. But gold, it's amazing. You can make it that gold leaf, that stuff that Dave puts on your Bibles. That's gold leaf, so thin, you can pound gold out like that. You know, this is going to be stuff we're going to see in heaven. And I don't want to miss that scenery. Revelation 21, starting at verse 10. There's just numerous things here. Revelation 21. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them were the names of the 12 apostles. This goes on and on. Each one has something. Let's see here. Verse 18. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper. You know, it goes on to verse 27 there. But the first foundation was of jasper, another precious stone. You know, I got some diamonds here. Little chips of a diamond. But you know what? That's nothing. The biggest diamond you can have here, that's nothing. The most gold you want here on this earth, that's nothing. Actually, that's another thing about gold, how little we really have. It's like you could put it all into 3 railroad cars, all the gold in the world. And yet, here they're building streets with it up there in heaven. God has some beautiful scenery for us in heaven. You know, And again, this is another sermon I heard from somewhere else, and I can't be dogmatic about it, of course. But the scenery, I believe, and I truly do believe this. You know, now, oh boy, you know, put these glasses on and you can see in 3D on a movie. And that is amazing. You know, something comes lurching out at you and you're, whoa, you know, looks like it's coming at you. That's 3D. And I have not even seen 4D. Has anybody in here seen 4D? Isn't it out already? Aren't there movies in 4D or something? Four-dimensional, I don't even understand that. But I think, and I truly believe this, I believe that the scenery in heaven will be more dimensions than we can even comprehend. And somebody said this to me one time, that, you know, you will even be able to see, smell, you know, a smell. You know, I would be seeing something through the door there because, you know, you could see the smell of something cooking in the kitchen. You know, but I believe that. We will have so many dimensions of sight. I can't wait to see that scenery. So these are some things I can't afford to miss. And there's only one way that we can be assured of being there when these events take place. Only one way. It's a one-way ticket, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus paid the price for every sinner at Calvary. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, which I hope everybody in this room does, you won't miss the service. You won't miss the shout. You won't miss the supper. You won't... Oh, I forgot what the fourth one. Summit. The saddle. The summit, the saddle, the singing, and the scenery. You won't miss it. Happens to be seven things. Honey, that's good. I really look forward to seeing these things. You know, there was a song, I know the girls know it a little bit better, but Won't It Be Wonderful There? Remember that song? I have the, you know, Won't It Be, I can't sing it. Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing. Won't it be wonderful there? It will. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for showing us these things, Lord. Just, oh, I can't wait for them, Lord. It's exciting, and I'm glad that I won't miss it. I'm going to be able to be there with you and seeing and doing all this stuff. Lord, just help us to just occupy here until you come, but not to be loving this world. Just to be loving you and just looking forward to doing these things with you. In Jesus' name, amen.